Hey, this is Brian from your friendly neighborhood Infamous podcast, and we have a deal for you. If you go to comixology.com right now and spend $15, when you check out, use the code Infamous and you get $5 off. That's right. When you spend $15 on comics at comixology.com, you get $5 off when you use the code Infamous. So go help out the show and your friends at the Infamous podcast and get some digital comics. You're welcome. Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian, and today I am joined by the very special
David Griffin.
What's up, buddy?
Not much. Glad to be back. It's been a while.
It's been too long, but you're super busy now, and you know you have to go into an office and make awesome things for IGN now, so it's understandable.
Yeah, I've kind of working that whole real nine to six kind of gig thing, but it's been fun. It's been a good experience. I think it's been a while. I've been there for 7 months now.
Yeah.
Which has been fun. It was like I had New York Comic Con with Collider, and that was my last thing with Collider, and then, you know, joined IGN. So it's flying by, but I've still been listening to you guys. You know, I love Infamous Podcast. So I am happy to be back on, and I appreciate everybody, being nice when I am on.
Well, Johnny and I appreciate you filling in since he's on vacation this week.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I know it seems like yesterday. I mean, I know you and I talk all the time, but like it really seems like you started at IGN yesterday, and you know, I can't believe it's been 7 months. So awesome. All right. So since Johnny's not here, we are going to review Solo, A Star Wars Story, but more importantly, we're going to talk about Cobra Kai because Johnny doesn't do YouTube Red.
How dare he.
So, all right.
You must subscribe to YouTube Red.
So I'd subscribed to it for a while, and then I did like the 90-day free trial or whatever it was. I think it was like 3 months, and my 3 months stopped right before Cobra Kai started, and I was like, oh man, I need to really like just bite the bullet and start paying for it, and I didn't do it until this past week. But you've been telling me to watch Cobra Kai now for a couple weeks, and you could not have been more right to have watched it.
It's honestly, it's like one of those shows that it shouldn't work, but it does.
Yeah.
I was so skeptical when I saw, because I mean, one, there's been so many iterations of Karate Kid. I think there's been what, 5 films now?
If you count the Jaden Smith one.
Jaden Smith. Yeah. If you count the Jaden Smith one, there's been 5, and it just feels like since, you know, of course, you know, Mr. Miyagi, Pat's been gone and all that. Yeah, Pat Morita's gone. It's like, you know, maybe we should just like let this, you know, just let Sleepy Dogs lie. But they nailed it. I mean, everything works. I mean, I think it was a brilliant idea just to, you know, let's not try to do a new Karate Kid. Let's just, you know, catch up with the guys after 34 years.
Let's,
you know,
revisit
let's see what
them.
Johnny's up to.
Yeah,
let's see what Daniel's up to. And, you know, and they, you know, they throw in a bit of nostalgia, and I won't get into any heavy spoilers or anything, but, you know, they'll throw in little clips from the old movie, from the original, you know, to kind of just add some context, I think, for one, for people who haven't seen the original, which if you haven't, you should, or for people who just haven't watched the original in a long time. She's like, oh, yeah, I remember that, you know, so I think they did a really good job. There's a lot of member berries, but it's not too many member berries.
Right.
Not too many.
Well, I think the people who did How I Met Your Mother deserve a ton of credit for this, right? Because I don't know, I don't think you watched it because it was a network comedy, and we know how you are with your network comedies. But
I watch A Good Place. I like A Good Place.
But Neil Patrick Harris's character, to him, the Karate Kid was always Johnny Lawrence, and he looked at Ralph Macchio as the bully. And they did that part where when Johnny's explaining to Miguel about like what happened, it was kind of taken from that. And I think had that not happened, because there's people out there who have said that before, you know, old Daniel was the bully, not Johnny, and Johnny was just sticking up for himself. I don't think we would have gotten this in the way we did, but it was.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Because, I mean, it's like, yeah, Johnny, I mean, if you look at it from his perspective, it's like, yeah, this kid comes in from Jersey, steals his girl, you know, punches him at the beach, you know, if any, like, it's like Daniel started the fight, you know, even though Johnny probably took it a little too far.
Daniel escalated it at the dance with the water and then had an old guy beat them up. Exactly. I did like how he did point out that Daniel won with an illegal kick to the face.
Yeah, illegal. yeah, that was great. It was just so fun to see all these guys. I mean, you know, Billy Zabka, who plays Johnny. Yeah. You know, he works. If you look on his IMDb page, you'll see that he's the guy that gets work. But he's one of those guys that, you know, he's not, you know, an A-lister, but, you know, it's great to see him get a place to shine again, because I do like him. And both guys look the same, especially Ralph Macchio. He looks like he's still 18 years old. But
yeah, he made a deal. These guys, he made a deal with the devil. Right now. Yeah.
Yeah, he must have. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I will say, I think that Miguel Diaz might be my Karate Kid, to be honest.
He's a cool character, yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and he's
but then you played, have, you know, the whole Johnny's son.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, who's, you know, maybe, you know, he's the other, I guess, Karate Kid, but he's more, you know, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see what season two goes. I'm glad we got a second season.
Yeah, I kind of felt like Johnny's son was shoehorned in a little there, to be honest. As the, you know, karate disciple of Ralph or of Daniel, but I also think Daniel's daughter did a horrible job of leading both him and Miguel on at different parts in the story.
Always got to be a love triangle.
Yeah, part of
telling.
So the cool thing though is the guy that plays Miguel, he was on Parenthood. He was the kid that Victor, that Julia and Joel adopted in the later seasons.
Oh, that's right. I remember that now.
And I'm sitting there, I'm like, why does this guy look so familiar? And I'm like, wow, he, like, you know, I mean, he's like grown up. I mean, he's a, he's a, you know, I mean, he's a man now, but he was so good. And, you know, he did such a good job with the transition from really no confidence at all, getting picked on, you know, just trying to keep his head down to, you know, super confident, bringing his friends up with him, you know, really kind of pushing the idea of, you know, standing up for yourself. And then at the end, you see how, you know, Johnny doesn't know how to stop. And it's carried over a little too much, the Cobra Kai doctrine.
Yeah, I mean, what's great about this whole show is that, you know, Johnny has, in a way, reinvented Cobra Kai. Because Cobra Kai used to be like, you know, I think somebody said in the series, like, you know, karate was like, you know, football. It was like the biggest thing in the valley, you know, in L.A. at the time. But Johnny, you know, because all the guys who were in Cobra Kai, they were all already jocks. They were basically like the football players, you know, for lack of a better word.
Right.
And what he did this time is he brought in all the nerds and all the outsiders, the people that get picked on and made fun of, and brought them into Cobra Kai, and then kind of, I don't know, made them in his own image.
Yeah.
But, you know, still not wanting to go dirty. Like, he knows that he probably shouldn't have played dirty with Daniel back in the 80s. And he's trying not to teach the guy. He's trying to be like, hey, you know, strike hard, strike fast, no mercy, but also play with do it within the rules, though.
Yeah, and be respectful
about it.
Cool.
Like, I mean, be respectful, yeah. Yeah, and Johnny was kind of the protagonist, which was great. And Daniel was kind of a jerk, you know, he's all cocky and got a lot of money now.
He was kind of douchey. You know. It was, and, you know, Daniel was
a douchebag,
always kind of douchey, and it's like, he's like the exact example that people refer to when they talk about, like, you know, quote unquote, new money. And, you know, I mean, I picked this knife up on my first trip to Japan line to the Asian kid that his daughter was dating at the beginning. It's like, oh, man, what's wrong with you? When there's something seriously wrong with you, man.
So, but I want to tell you, Brian, I thought of you. We were driving up for the listeners to give you some context. Yeah. I'm in Santa Barbara right now. And we were driving up, we did see a golf and stuff,
nice.
Which I thought was interesting. Now, I don't know. I doubt that's the same golf and stuff they show. There's probably one in the valley. Like, you hear them talk about the valley and maybe Northridge or something. But there is a golf and stuff, I think, around Thousand Oaks, California, going north.
That's hilarious.
On the highway. So that was funny. I was like, oh, there's golf and stuff. That's where Daniel took Elizabeth's shoe 34 years ago.
Well, because we were talking about it on the phone the other day. And I was like, is this even a real place? And, you know. You assured
it is. There is a golf and stuff. Yeah. There is golf and stuff. It looks a little different. I don't know. It looks like it's been, you know, a little more modern now. But yeah, they're still around.
That's funny. That's really funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's. I think, you know, you're right with the member berries, but it definitely hit on all the nostalgia points that it needed to hit on, and tell that new story.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. It's perfect. 10 episodes. You know, 30 minutes an episode max.
Yeah.
I don't think we give enough credit to, you know, there's a really good, you know, TV critic, maybe some of you out there are familiar with Alan Sepinwall, and he wrote a piece recently, I think he's on Up Rocks now, and he wrote a piece about how, you know, the 30-minute drama needs, like, more credit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's, whenever something's 30 minutes, it's like, oh, it's a comedy, 30 minutes. Like, you can't have a drama be 30 minutes. Like, no, there's some really good dramas, you know, that are just 30 minutes. I mean, I would say The Good Place is a drama, even though I know it's a comedy. I mean, there's beats and everything that they hit, but I feel like these little half-hour shows can tell a pretty powerful story in 30 minutes.
I don't feel like there's enough half-hour shows, you know? It seems like everything skews towards an hour. And then if it's a half hour, it's a comedy. If it's an hour, it's a drama. And yeah, there used to be half hour dramas all the time. And, you know, there were hour long comedies before, which we don't really have. But
even some of the shows that you and I love, like even like when I sit down to watch like an episode of Westworld, it's like, it's 59 minutes with no commercials. Like it's a full 59 minutes. And Westworld is a great show, but still sometimes I'm like, I just want like something for 27 minutes or, you know.
And that's
shorter.
What made Barry so good.
Barry, I don't know if you talked about it on this show.
We
yet,
haven't.
But I mean,
no.
Yeah, definitely.
So.
Listeners, definitely. HBO's Barry with Bill Hader is so good. It's got that perfect blend that Brian and I are talking about here of drama, great acting, but also like some brilliant comedy too. Like you'll laugh a lot.
Yeah. So in like you know to bring it back to Cobra Kai, I thought that was the same thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The drama was there, but then when it was time to laugh, like it was time to laugh, and you knew when to do that.
I thought it was very well written. I'm glad that I think Zapka and Machi are both producers on it, so they're both very. I spoke to both of them on the phone and doing an interview, and they seem very passionate. Like they're 100% in this. You know, they want this to do well, and I'm just glad. I think there's been so many cancellations recently, so I'm happy to see that Cobra Kai got picked up.
Yeah, that was great, and I did like the episode where they, after Cousin Louie this time, not Uncle Louie, but Cousin Louie, who's an idiot, attacks Johnny with some bikers.
That was horrible.
And they torch his car.
Yeah.
But my favorite part of that is in where I laughed was Louie's like, I have a baseball bat. And it's like, dude, he just took out two badass bikers with crowbars. What do you think you're going to do to with the baseball bat to this guy?
You're right. Johnny is a true karate kid.
So, even like when we first meet Miguel and he's getting picked on and Johnny ends up, you know, because they are messing with his car. Again, just defending himself. He really isn't the aggressor in this case. He's like, you know, let's cut this out. And it just all like that, like a snap comes right back to him. And it was pretty funny. I mean, he did have that moment where he did the high kick. He's like, oh, you know, and it's like because he probably hadn't done that in a while.
Yeah, it's a lot of practice.
So. Okay, so the supporting cast, especially the Cobra Kais, I think, are what really made this first season for me.
Yeah, the kids were great. Yeah, I enjoyed watching all the kids.
Like Nicole Brown's Aisha, the arc that this poor girl went through, and I don't think anyone was meaner to her really than Samantha LaRusso. At the end of the day, because she never really stuck up for her and just kind of like ditched her. And then at the end,
she wanted to be in the mean girl crowd.
Yeah. And then at the end, she's like, oh, let's be friends. But the Melvin that she gives that girl at the beach was vicious. I mean, and hilarious and awesome. And it's like, she was this like gentle giant. And then she just got pushed one step too far. And, you know,
And even the mean girls were funny. I thought they did a good job. Like, you know, I mean, they had some good comedic moments. And there's that kid, the guy who plays Hawk, with the guy who has big mohawk. He's great. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a strong cast. I mean, there's really not a lot of weak points.
No.
In the show.
I think Hawk in particular was like the closest to being, like what in the original Cobra Kai were. The way he fully adopted the, you know, strike first, strike hard, no mercy. More than anybody else, but the funny thing was he kept getting called Lip by Johnny, right? Because he had had the cleft palate and, you know, he had the scar and you know, And Johnny tells him, you got to flip the script, man. And you want to talk about a 180 in a personality for a character that then continues to grow into that character. It was really masterful.
He bought into his mohawk and the whole hawk persona. I'll be curious to see if his character changes, you know, next season. Like what happens to him, if he's going to find a little humility or if he's just going to keep being, you know, he's kind of turned into a little bit of a bully. So,
he turned into the prototypical Cobra Kai.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So looking back at this, of like movies that happened between 1984 and 1988, if there was anybody who needed to 20 years later have a time machine and go back and fix their asshole kids, it was Daniel LaRusso, not Marty McFly.
Yeah, your kids. Something's got to be done about your kids, Marty. That's true. That's a good point. I don't know. LaRusso, he's... Again, you want the two guys to work together, you know, because I feel like Daniel and Johnny, like they need each other. Like they should be buddies. Right. They really should. I don't think they'll stay enemies forever. I have a feeling, I don't want to spoil the ending, but I feel like whatever's going to happen next season, I think there's going to be a force that comes along where Daniel and Johnny are going to have to work together because there's going to be something that's worse than Johnny or Daniel put together. And I think that's what's going to.
Yeah,
because it's going to be cool to see them work together. Yeah.
Well, and the whole thing at the ending, like there was an allusion to it earlier and we were told one thing that we learned wasn't true. And so I'm really interested to see, because Johnny was not happy at the end at all.
No. You got to be careful what you wish for.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, Ralph, Daniel said it. Going back to Miyagi's, homestead, essentially his compound, for me, that was a little bit much.
A little too, trying to pull too many heartstrings there.
I think it was too many member berries, really. You know, it was.
Okay, too much, yeah.
Remember, man, Miyagi-Do karate? Yeah. Well, here we are, right back at the place, you know, and I don't know. So I was kind of hoping that, Mike from Karate Kid 3 was going to show up at some point, and he didn't. The bully from Karate Kid 3. There was a mention of Terry Silver, which was great. And, Johnny's like, I don't even know who that is.
I think with the success of this season, I know, I saw Elizabeth Shue was in the news the other day. She just signed on. I can't remember if she signed on to do a movie or a new TV series, but I have a feeling, with the success of this series, more of the actors from the previous films, I think, will want to come back.
Maybe, although, if Elizabeth Shue
doesn't...
Even if
it's for a little cameo. Yeah. It doesn't have to be just for a cameo.
I think the only way it would work is if she came back to a scene with both of them being friends and her being freaked out by that.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool.
And then what's a Facebook? That comment was great. I love his flip phone.
Yeah.
His tape deck. Yeah.
Well, it's weird. It's Johnny's older, but he's not that old. I mean, he's in his early 50s. But he's been so just cut off from the world. Mm-hmm. What's that? What's Facebook? How do you not know what Facebook is?
So, what was it? It was www.CobraKai.com com, all lowercase.
Yeah, he was great.
But. Yeah, I love the Karate Kid movies, one through three. Allegedly, there was one with Hilary Swank, but there was also allegedly a Rocky V and two additional seasons of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So I still don't understand what people are talking about when they bring this mythical stuff up, right?
Movies.
Yeah. And then the one with Jaden Smith was not good. Yeah, I have the issues with that. What mom is going to let her kid run off with some weird guy in China? You know,
but it's Jackie Chan. He's so trustworthy.
But was he?
yeah, right.
Because didn't he let him get bitten by a snake or something? Wasn't there some sort of poison involved? I think there.
Honestly, I don't even know if I ever watched that thing all the way through. I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember. But,
anyway, that being said, if you haven't seen Cobra Kai yet, borrow your friend's YouTube Red. Just do the free trial, and you can knock it out in 3 hours. A little, or maybe 4.5, but
it's a fun binge.
It's an easy binge.
Easy binge, yeah.
So, but all right. So let's talk Star Wars. All right, now I'm going to warn you: we're going to spoil the shit out of this because there's no way to talk about this and not spoil it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So feel free to spoil away.
Spoil City, spoilers ahead.
All right. So what were your first impressions of the movie?
I thought Solo was entertaining. I think a little unnecessary. And the whole time I was watching it, I'm like, man, this would be a great TV series. That's the only thing I kept thinking, especially, well, I guess we'll get to the end later. But the ending, I'm like, oh, because the way that the box office numbers are, I think it just came out. It's like, I think it's like, it did half of what Rogue One did, or it's a pretty low, it didn't do well. Like,
right.
So I think it's one of the lower openings for a Star Wars movie. So I doubt we're going to get a direct sequel. But I was like, man, this would make a great TV series. Cause the way that they kind of leave you, you know, maybe at the end, I did want more at the end, but as I was watching it, I'm like, it didn't really add anything to the character for me, but it was still fun. Like if people were to ask me, you know, David, hey, should I go see Soul in the theater? Like, yeah, see it on a big screen, see it with a good sound, get some popcorn. It's entertaining. But I don't know, Brian, I don't know what you think. I don't know if it was necessary, though. I don't know if we needed this movie.
So it's interesting to hear you say about the TV series because I hadn't thought about that. I agree that it wasn't necessary, but I had a ton of fun with it. It's, you know, a 2.5 hour movie that, you know, just kind of went there. And,
yeah,
you know, it was, so Rogue One, again, Rogue One was a story that no one asked to be told. But
True. It
was also, for me, Rogue One is my second favorite Star Wars movie. I think because it was something so different, this one was like, for me, it's like learning the origin of the Joker, right? Learning the origin of the Joker kind of makes that character just a little less special. And, you know, I don't think this makes Han Solo less special because I personally think Alden Ehrenreich killed it as Han. But I think it was just too much of if something's going to go wrong, it's going to be the worst possible thing going wrong up until the end when he finally got smart.
Yeah. He had to learn the smuggler code, don't trust anyone.
What's the pirate code?
What did you think of, let me kind of jump around a little bit, but what did you think of, I of course, you know, you and me both really love Donald Glover. I mean, we're big Atlanta fans, and obviously that, you know, This Is America, you know, like biggest music video right now. He's a very talented guy. I don't know, his Lando, it sounded like his accent, like he would go British sometimes. Like, I wasn't sure if what he was going for with Lando. I love his look. He looked great.
I love the look.
Something with the way.
I love the mannerism.
The way he was like speaking. Yeah, I don't know. There's something off about it.
I think he was, you know, it's not the same Lando that we saw, obviously, in Bespin, right? I think this is a Lando who is very much, you know, putting on airs because he's quote-unquote retired, and he's trying to appear that he's something that he probably hasn't been in a while, and he doesn't know how to get there. And I also think, especially after hearing what the Kasdans have said about Lando afterwards, you know, that he's a pansexual character, which, you know, who cares? If it's not on the big screen, then you don't really, you know, you're not really committed to that as one of your character traits. I don't think either. Right. I don't think they understood what young Lando should be. And I think that was the writing that came out. And you know, I think Donald Glover is, I 100% agree with you. I loved him on Community. Troy was my favorite character. Atlanta is one of my four best favorite shows right now. Another half hour drama. This Is America is an awesome video, but saying it's like the biggest video is like, you know, there's no other music videos that I know of. So
who really watches music videos anymore?
But it is, I think it's super special and what the song and the video and all of that are great.
Right.
And to be honest, he's the only hip hop artist I like. So as Childish Gambino.
I
can see that the things that he did, like, you know, he would be a little pretentious and then he was a little whiny and then he was a little badass. And then, he was, you know, the droid thing didn't make any sense.
I didn't get the emotion. They're trying to like get this emotional impact of the droid.
So if he was that tied into L3 when, you know, when she gets killed and they merge her into the Falcon's Navi computer, there's no way he's ever giving that ship up. The way he acted about that droid dying. You know, not even in a card game. He's gonna pull a blaster out and shoot Han through the chest to keep that. And so I think the motivations of the character are really weird. And I also think, you know, just like Alden had to follow Harrison Ford, I think following Billy Dee in this character is really hard.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's such an iconic character to play. Even though we don't really, if you think about like how much screen time Lando has, it's not a ton of screen time. But
but he has two movies.
Like his presence is just but his presence is just so big.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, it's a tough role. Like I said, I don't know if we needed this, but as I was watching, I'm like, man, this would be great played out over like 8 to 10 episodes mm-hmm. or something.
Yeah,
you know, and kind of build the story because like it has like the whole crime.
The crime kind of thing,
the crime is like the Ocean's 11 mixed, like with like The Godfather or, you know, newer series like McMafia, it has that feel to it. It's got some good elements, good actors. I just wanted some more time with the character, spread over a longer, you know, not more movie. And then, of course, like in the end, it was I'm like, well, you guys setting something up, but this movie's not doing well. So it's just like, is this it? But I want to also just give some props to Ron Howard.
Yeah.
The movie looked great.
Yeah.
It looked really good. I mean, Ron Howard wasn't responsible for writing the whole screenplay, but I thought he did a pretty good job with the directing.
Yeah. And I think part of the reason the movie's doing so bad has nothing to do with the quality of the content. It's the fact that for the last year, all we've heard about is the drama on set, you know, we're firing the two directors. Aaron Reich needs an acting coach. You know, it's like they're not sure if he's Han Solo enough. And, you know, even Harrison Ford came out and, you know, showed support last week before the movie even hit theaters. And I don't think that was enough.
Yeah, because it's not that Aiden's a bad actor. I mean, he the guy can act. I mean, he's a trained actor. It's just that, they were trying to make him, you got to be more Han Solo. And, there's been some weird behind-the-scenes things with Disney. And then, you know, was it Trevorrow was fired, let go? Now, there's just a lot going on behind the scenes over there. I mean, it's how it is for every company, but I don't know, for some reason, Marvel, you don't hear about as much of that. I know with Ant-Man and Edgar Wright, there was that little thing. But for the most part, like Marvel, I feel like, does a good job of avoiding that. Or at least they keep their drama in-house. You don't hear about it. But, with...
Thing with Edgar Wright and Ant-Man is I'm so happy Peyton Reed made that movie instead of Edgar Wright because when Edgar Wright started his Ant-Man journey, it was Iron Man was the only thing that had been out yet. And I don't think he was willing to work with Marvel in the scope of a larger universe. And he wanted, an even more self-contained story than what Ant-Man was. Because I think like Iron Man, Ant-Man, Black Panther, they're all relatively self-contained and don't have a lot of impact necessarily on the universe as a whole. But I think Edgar Wright wanted this really like intimate, like Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz. You know, it's just this one snippet of time that you're seeing and not leaving room for growth. And I also think had he done Ant-Man, we wouldn't have gotten Baby Driver. So I'm really happy that he didn't do
it. Baby Driver was great. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, I think Larry Kasdan has been with the Star Wars family for so long, and I think he was the one who initially raised all the questions about Lord Miller and wasn't getting along with them, and Kathleen Kennedy, of course, is going to back him, but then some of the things that him and his son, who co-wrote the movie, have been saying since the movie landed, like, oh, well, Tag and Bank ended up on the cutting room floor, and this scene ended up on the cutting room floor, and it shouldn't have. And, you know, it's like, I think we're going to learn that Lord and Miller are really awesome stand-up guys for just kind of eating their shit sandwich and going away and not throwing it.
They haven't talked any smack about, for the most part, they've been pretty, respectful and kind of backing away.
Yeah, I mean, they went off and the new Lego movie comes out. So, I mean, that's going to make it $1 billion.
And also, Hollywood's a small town, so you don't want to, like, talk bad about executives because then you won't work anymore.
You're right. I mean, look at what's happened to Josh
Trank. Lord and Miller, but, you don't want to talk smack to the executives, even if you're right.
Right.
Even if you're right.
But this is Larry Kasdan's last Star Wars hurrah. Like, he's already said he's retiring.
Yeah.
But they need to get as far away. Star Wars and Kathleen Kennedy and Disney need to get as far away from his kid as they possibly can. and not let him trade on his last name as a Star Wars scribe, producer, writer, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe get some new blood in there. Yeah, I mean, yeah, like look at like Marvel with like Coogler, you know, having Coogler take over. I mean, yeah, just get some new creative energy, not like kind of like old regime, like the old hierarchy.
Favreau.
In a way, like, Kasdan's done, like, he's like royalty almost.
Yep, exactly. Like, you look at Marvel with Favreau, right? I don't think Jon Favreau gets the credit he deserves for starting the MCU off right. I think too many people lean on Joss Whedon's Avengers, which, you know, frankly, it hasn't held up, in my opinion, over the last, 8 years since it's been out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Jon Favreau was new blood to the action genre. I mean, the biggest movie he'd done, like, action-wise before that was Zathura, which is a highly underrated movie. But it was a box office bomb. You know, we had Gareth.
Yeah, I didn't realize that when I was, USC last week at University of Southern California.
Yeah.
And I was watching Iron Man again, and Feige and Favreau were there. And, yeah, Feige just, like, praised Favreau for, like, getting us off the ground. And he told the audience, which is mostly film students at that program, but that's where Feige went to school. And he was just saying, he's like, you guys have to realize that Iron Man was an indie film.
Yeah.
It was like, now Paramount distributed it, but it was like a Star Wars situation where it was like, yeah, Fox distributed Star Wars, but it was actually an indie film. Marvel Studios kind of backed, the whole thing. They financed the whole movie, and just got like a little bit of a cut. I always forget that. And he said like that was also the only studio or the only indie film. Then after that, they had financing for everything. But yeah, Iron Man was an indie film.
But if Iron Man hadn't worked out, they lose all their IP because they have to sell it all.
Oh yeah,
Then we have like Marvel characters in DC all of a sudden. I will say this: I like this movie better than Deadpool. Deadpool 2. Sorry. I definitely I enjoyed it more.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that.
It is by no means, it's not the worst Star Wars movie. It's not the best. It's in the bottom half, easy. I've seen all this stuff talking about Star Wars fatigue, and it's maybe this movie should have just come out in December, not so close to The Last Jedi.
Yeah,
I don't think it's Star Wars fatigue. I think it's the fact that all people heard about was drama and like, this movie's in trouble. This movie's in trouble. We didn't get a trailer until, super late. And honestly, when we got the trailer was traditionally when we used to get movie trailers. The whole fact that we get movie trailers a year and a half in advance at Comic-Con now is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think that's what really hurt the Justice League, is they set all these expectations for a year and a half. And then, had a bunch of drama behind the scenes and delivered a steaming piece of crap.
Yeah, it's tough marketing. I mean, they maybe need to take a little more time. And because Star Wars is different than Marvel, because Marvel has, Star Wars is the content, whereas Marvel is just it's a publishing house that has a bunch of different characters they can use.
Right.
Star Wars has a bunch of different characters, but it's different, so Marvel can release 3 films a year and it's okay. Star Wars can't do that.
See,
they can't do three Star Wars movies in a year.
But they haven't. They've only done one in a year. I mean, yes, this technically happens within a calendar year of the next. But
right.
I
think they need a little more time.
I think if they want to do these anthology movies, though, they need to expand the universe. Do not do Boba Fett. Do not do Obi-Wan. Give us a Knights of the Old Republic. Go like way beyond, give us a Thrawn movie if that's what you want to do. Give bring some of these Legends characters into canon. But I still think like a Thrawn movie would not be expected to make $150 million opening weekend. It would probably be expected to make $70 million. Wow.
They have to do like a Deadpool 1 budget, low, maybe $30-40 million budget max. Yeah.
I think this movie ended up having a $300 million budget because they reshot the entire thing for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's never a good sign. I mean, that's never a good thing for a movie. But again, like you said, Ron Howard put a beautiful looking cohesive story up there. It's just, they made some weird decisions with existing characters that, maybe this movie needed 10 more minutes. Maybe it needed 40 less minutes. Who knows? I think there was something that needed to happen to really care more about what was going on.
Maybe. Yeah, it's always hard to tell. Because, I don't know. It's like Solo's a big name, but again, when I saw Trailer, I'm a Star Wars fan. Like, you know, obviously, mm-hmm. like I like to read the books and some of the comics, and I enjoy the lore. But even as a fan like that, I was like, I just don't know. I care. Like, I'm gonna see it. I want to see it, but I wasn't excited about it. I'm more excited. We talked about this before. I'm more excited for like Mission Impossible Fallout. Oh, yeah. I'm more excited for. I'm even more excited for what's his name? He's doing the new Predator movie. Even though the trailer wasn't great.
Predators?
Shane Black. Yeah, the Predator. Just because it's Shane Black, and I love nice guys, I love Lethal Weapon.
And that was a horrible trailer. The Predator trailer was awful. And
it was a bad trailer, but you know. I'm still curious because it is Shane Black, mm-hmm. And I like, you know, the movies that he does. But Sicario 2, even I'm mm-hmm. more interested. It's just movies that I'm more interested in. But I'm not disappointed they did this, but again, I just don't know if it was necessary.
Yeah.
So I'll be curious to see if the Boba Fett. I mean, it is Mangold, who I love. I enjoyed Logan. If he does that whole Western lone gunman kind of thing, you know, man on his own, you know, that could be good. I mean, they don't, again, like Dredd did a good job not showing Carl Urban's face, even though you
right.
do get to see the bottom of his face.
Yeah.
You never see his full face. So I think they can do that. They can pull it off. But it's going to be tough. It'll be a tough one to do for sure.
So I hate Boba Fett. Like, I hate those overrated characters, right? And I think if you're going to do Boba Fett, do not do it in the past. I saw an interesting mm-hmm. quote. Like, all these other movie franchises are looking forward, right? And Star Wars refuses mm-hmm. to and just wants to look back. And
yeah.
that's going to, yeah. like, if anything is going to kill Star Wars, it's the fact that they refuse to be forward thinking about their stories and their,
mm-hmm.
Did you watch Heroes? I like the TV series.
I watched the first season.
Great.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. in Heroes, Tim Kring as a creator fell in love with his characters, right? And then all of a sudden, yeah. they had 50 feet of plot armor on them, because mm-hmm. in the original version, Masioka was supposed to die at the mid-season, and you know, Hero was supposed to die, and because mm-hmm. you know, everyone, like the fans, kind of fell in love with him, Tim Kring changed the story and completely derailed what they had originally planned for a second season. And
then the writer's strike happened.
And the writer's strike happened, absolutely. So so Star Wars is like that, too. They need to move beyond the Skywalkers as quickly as possible.
We just have one more, though.
They do.
Supposedly.
And you know, Leia has to die. Luke's dead. And Kylo Ren has to die. So there are no more Skywalkers to fall back on a crutch. And then start telling, you know, other force wielder stories. I think they did a really good job not mentioning Jedi or Sith or really any of that stuff in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the depiction that we saw of the Empire. It was, mm-hmm. you know, that more bureaucratic version of the Empire that you get and how susceptible they were to bribery and things like that. I loved Woody Harrelson. I loved Tandy Newton. And I thought Emilia Clarke, for the really one-dimensional character she was given, did a great job.
Yeah, she did. Mm-hmm.
Which leads into the big spoiler. So Darth Maul yeah. shows up, which mm-hmm. really did a good job showing a rough idea of the timeline. Because at this point, this is pre-Rebels, post-Revenge of the Sith, and post the point where he gets away from Palpatine from the Clone Wars cartoon.
Right.
So it was interesting. And I think maybe if you want to do a TV series, like if you want to take this and spin it off into a 10 episode Netflix series, or better yet, 10 episode Disney streaming service series, mm-hmm. that would be a great way to do it. I was excited that it was Sam Witwer as Maul's voice.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed it wasn't Sam Witwer under the paint, but I liked the whole, when he lifted his leg, you got the metal, you know, you got the mechanical sound and all of that. So
it was a cool reveal. I mean, he's always been one of my favorite characters. If they were going to do a spinoff, I'd love to do a spinoff with him.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll get that, but that would be cool. But yeah, it's just a tough movie. I think, now that you mentioned the 2.5 hour runtime, I honestly didn't look at the runtime, but I could feel it towards mm-hmm. the end. I'm like, okay, let's wrap this up a little bit. Started to drag, but yeah, like I agree with you, Brian. I think it was a fun, enjoyable movie-going experience. I would recommend people go see it. but I don't know if I'll see it again. You know, like I enjoyed it, but like the one time was enough. So I don't know. Yeah, these. I'm not sure what I think about all this. The Star Wars movie. I really liked Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I didn't really like Rogue One. I know a lot of people did.
Yeah.
I love Rebels. I love Star Wars Rebels. I love it. You know, and the books have been very good. Actually, the books have been great. The new canon books have been a lot of fun to read. That's what I think. You know what? If I had my favorite thing about Star Wars right now, it's probably the books.
Yeah.
I really like the new, like the Princess Leia book, the Lords of the Sith, the tie-in book to Rogue One is awesome.
Yeah, the Captain Phasma book was really good.
The Captain Phasma book, yeah, like the books are really good. So if there's one thing I'm really excited right now, it's probably the books. I'm also looking forward to Favreau's new animated series. Live action series that's going to be on a Disney streaming service. And I'm excited about the new animated series.
The Resistance.
As well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think for me right now, my favorite, like since Rebels has ended, because Rebels, I'll put those last, six episodes of Rebels, like as a whole, up against anything other than Empire and say this is probably the best Star Wars has ever been.
It was really well written.
But for me, like the Darth Vader comic right now is crushing it. The Poe Dameron comic is good. The Star Wars proper comic is still really good. But again, it's all like those things are all looking back. Like, you know, in the Darth Vader, it's essentially Vader year one. After he's, you know, gone into the suit and stepped off the table at the end of Revenge of the Sith. But it's still really good. But the Poe Dameron one's really interesting because it's all new stuff. It's all new characters that they can introduce. Oh, Dr. Aphra, that's an entirely new character that's really interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you talking about looking forward. Maybe they need to start doing that more, looking forward. But I think they are doing that. I mean, we have... Gareth Edwards is doing his own trilogy, and Benioff and Weiss are doing their own trilogy. So, I mean, they are, and this is away from Skywalker, so they are,
no, it's,
they are looking
Ryan,
forward.
Ryan Johnson.
Ryan Johnson, Edwards did Rogue One.
Yeah,
Ryan Johnson and Benioff and Weiss from Game of Thrones are doing their own series, or movies. So, we'll see what they can do.
Yeah, like the Favreau series is a few years after Empire and, you know, 20 or so years before The Force Awakens. So, it'll be interesting to see what they do there. But yeah, I think for all those people out there who are saying, though, that this movie bombed and this movie, show Star Wars fatigue, I think Solo was doomed from the start.
Yeah.
It just
Even the Marvel movies that come out, or like a DC movie, like, oh, is it superhero fatigue? And then, you know, Avengers comes out and breaks the opening weekend, but, you know, box office record. So, yeah, I don't think we're quite done with these movies yet.
So, like, with the superhero movies, like, with the, you know, people talking about fatigue, when the good superhero movies start making less money than the movies before them, then I'll give some credence to that. Like, Justice League is not an example of superhero fatigue. Justice League is an example of, you give us a bad product, we're not going to support it. And, you know, you saw, Black Panther crushed it. And, I mean, it's a really good movie.
Oh, yeah. I made over $1 billion. And, yeah. I mean, we're not done yet.
No.
We're still going to be going strong for a few more years.
Probably another decade, easy. You know, but every genre kind of hits its, you know, its point. And, you know, we don't see Westerns anymore. We haven't had a lot of the heist movies like we did around, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s with movies like The Italian Job and Ocean's 11 and stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, this is kind of what it is. And, you know, I mean, vampire movies are completely out at this point. So it's all cyclical. Yeah. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give this?
I would give this a 7.
Yeah, see, I'm right there. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, it's worth seeing. I would say if you're on the fence, you're listening, you haven't seen it, you're like, yeah, should I go see it? I would say go see it. It's worth seeing.
You know, I think it's worth seeing in the theater because of
definitely.
You know, things like The Maw and The Kessel Run. To be honest, for me, the way I wanted to see the movie end was him taking off to do The Kessel Run. You know, not actually seeing it, just implying, like, here we go. But yeah, it was still, you know, kind of a thing the way they did it.
Again, really cool visuals.
The last thing is Han and Chewie in this movie were my favorite thing. the way they when Han starts speaking Wookiee to him, it was like, mm-hmm. oh my god, this is so funny.
I know a little.
And I liked how it's like let's get out of here and get to the sandwich or whatever it was. You know, it was like, mm-hmm. you know, he would just be the one word off, but it was still really funny.
I like their camaraderie. I like Chewie's story.
Yep.
The best Chewie story they've ever done. You know, he doesn't really have a lot. I mean, you know, he's always kind of a side character, but it was a great Chewie story.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. I liked it.
So, and I was really happy it didn't turn out that was like his family, you know, that they were just random Wookiees, and it shows, it shows like kind of how downtrodden the Wookiees really are in the galaxy at that moment, because they were enslaved by the Empire and they were shipped off to these camps because they were so strong. So, I did not realize until this morning that Anthony Daniels was the one Wookiee where they touch heads.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So he still weaseled his way into another Star Wars movie. Even not as C-3PO. All right. I think that's all we have.
Yeah.
That's Solo right there. Yeah. Solo and
that's
Cobra
Solo,
Kai.
Yeah.
All right. So 7 out of 10. It should have been a TV series. I definitely agree with you there. Even though it was, at the end, it's wholly unnecessary.
Yeah. I agree.
All right. All right. Where can everybody find you now since you're no longer with the fine folks at Collider?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on IGN, you know, I'm doing a lot of TV coverage. We're also doing some movie coverage as well. But, you know, you can find me on Twitter at GriffinDE. That's my last name with D-E at the end, David Edward. And then on Instagram with the same name. So usually I try to post some of my content up there. But, yeah, I'm on IGN.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Well, you know, again, thank you so much. I appreciate you sitting in and calling in from lovely
Santa
Barbara.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I always like being on the infamous. Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
and I got to mail you the new shirt. So
yes,
I will try and take care of that. It'll probably be next Saturday because I went back to working for a 9 to 4:30 thing. So or 7 to 4:30 thing. So my days are not my own anymore, and it's really weird. Well, thanks, bud. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
All right,
see you, Brian.
Bye. The Infamous Podcast is recorded in King's Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Our music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information out about the show by visiting us online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. There you can stay up to date with the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page. That's patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show so we can bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as at Johnny Podorf, and I'm on most social networks as at Brian Tudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is. And we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Later.